In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Today we celebrate the memory of St. John Climacus, or St. John of the Ladder. And if you've ever read the ladder, you'll know that there are 30 steps in the ladder. And if you've tried to read it, you may have thought that some of it was over your head, some of it was complicated, you ran across terms maybe you weren't familiar with. But the path to salvation is really not hard to understand. This book was written in a monastic context with monastics as the primary audience, but the path of salvation is simply living out the gospel and becoming what we promise to be at baptism, which is Christians. Now, maybe if you were baptized as an infant, you don't remember that promise, but people made that promise on your behalf, and so you're still bound by it as far as God's concerned, because your parents had the authority to decide whether you were going to be Christians or not, and they decided that you would be. But you have to make that decision yourself as you become aware and as you make choices in life, and you just have to simply decide that you're going to live like a Christian. Also, when you're reading the latter, because it's written for monastic context, sometimes it's not so easy to see, well, how do I apply this if I'm not a monk? And fortunately, in the very first step of the ladder, St. John Climacus addresses this question. He says to people who are living in the world who are asking, we have wives and are beset with social cares, and how can we lead a solitary life? And his reply to them was, do all the good you can. Do not speak evil of anyone. Do not steal from anyone. Do not hate anyone. Do not be arrogant toward anyone. Do not be absent from the divine services. Be compassionate to the needy. Do not offend anyone. Do not wreck another man's domestic happiness, and be content with what your own wives can give. If you behave in this way, you will not be far from the kingdom of heaven. And you could even put it in more simple terms if you recall the words that you hear at the end of every liturgy from Psalm 33. What man is there that desireth life and loveth to see good days? Well, I would hope that all of us desire life and desire to see good days, and this is not just talking about a good life in this life, but it's talking about eternal salvation. So what man is there that desires these things? Well, the psalmist tells us what we're supposed to do. Keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. Turn away from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. And that's peace with your fellow man, but also peace with God. And as another psalm also puts it, seek after God and your soul shall live. What it is that's before us is really not all that complicated. What makes it difficult for us is, as we try to live out a Christian life, is the fact that we are living in a world surrounded by people who are going in the other direction. Now, the word world in the scriptures is used in three different senses. One is the sense of God's creation, the creation that we see around us. Fallen as it may be, it's nevertheless God's creation. But also of the people that are in the world, as we hear in John 3:16, for God so loved the world. God obviously didn't love the evil system in the world, but that's the third sense. So there's the people in the world, most of whom are to some extent captives of this fallen evil system of the world, but that's the world in the negative sense. That's the world that we have to be careful about, that we have to try to separate ourselves from. Christ, in what's often referred to as his high priestly prayer in John chapter 17, said, I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them because they are not of this world, even as I am not of this world. I pray not that thou shouldst take them out of the world, but that thou shouldst keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I sent them into the world. So he's talking about the fact that they're in the world in the sense that they're in God's creation, and he's not asking the Father that they would be taken out of that world, but as a matter of fact, he's saying that he sends them into the world. But they are not of this world, he says, even as Christ is not of this world. So of the world means you belong to it. In the world means you're physically present in the world. And that's the big difference that we have to keep in mind. St. Peter, in his first epistle, says, "Dearly beloved, I beseech you, as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust, which war against the soul." So what he's saying is, we are strangers, or you could say foreigners, and pilgrims. If you're a foreigner in another country, that means you don't really belong there. You might be visiting, but you're not of that place. You're a foreigner. And if you're a pilgrim, that means you're passing through some place to get to another place, and in particular, a holy place. So that's what we need to see our life in this world, that we are foreigners. We don't belong to this world that we see around us, and we are pilgrims that are heading to the heavenly Jerusalem. And we live in an especially evil time. Just when you think that the world couldn't sink to any more base levels of evil, you see that they will show you that you were wrong, because they will outdo it. And I think that some of the evils we see today were unimaginable in all of human history. The way that we have people trying to distort basic facts of God's creation, about what it means to be a man or a woman, what it means to be a human being. People think that they can just create their own reality and make it so, because the world in their mind is more important than the facts of God's creation that we can see and that history and tradition of the scriptures testify to. But one blessing that we have as a result of this evil that we have in our times is that the lines are perhaps clearer than they've ever been. There have been times in the past where you could have easily been sucked in very subtle ways into worldliness, because most of the people around you would have been at least ostensibly trying to live a Christian life, or at least appear to be living a Christian life. And so the level of worldliness, the level of evil, was on a very low level. So it'd be a little bit more subtle and more of an easy temptation to say, well, I'll just give it in a little bit. But now it's very clear cut. And unfortunately, we see many people in the church that have totally turned away from the truth in ways that are shocking to me. I just heard the other day of a priest who was openly telling people that what it meant to be an Orthodox Christian was to endorse the whole woke LGBTQ, WXYZ agenda and all of this kind of stuff. That's what it is all about. That's what it means to be a loving Christian. Well, this is such a clear departure from the truth. You have to wonder, how did this person even talk themselves into that? Well, the point for us is that we need to make a very clear line and keep a very clear distance from this kind of nonsense. This is the thinking of the world. This is the thinking that just is thumbing its nose at everything that God has taught us about His creation and what it means to be a Christian. St. Paul in 2 Corinthians says this. He says, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. And when he says this, we have usually heard this quoted in the context of maybe marriage, which it certainly applies to that. We shouldn't be married to an unbeliever. Now, if you're already married to an unbeliever and you become a believer, St. Paul says you shouldn't try to be separate from that person if they're not wishing to be separate from you. But a Christian should not be marrying someone outside of the church. This is putting yourself in a very bad situation. In the law of Moses, there was a law about not yoking a donkey and an ox together. And you have to ask, well, why was this even in the law? Because any farmer with any sense would know that you couldn't do that, because you've got two very different kinds of animals that are not going to be pulling that yoke in the same way, and you're not going to have a very straight furrow. But there's a spiritual meaning to this, and you just can't put two opposite kinds of things together and have them pull in the same direction. And so, not just in marriage, not just even in business, but in terms of the people that we confide in, the people that we have close relationships with, not just people that we're trying to be loving to, people that we might be on friendly terms with, but in terms of the intimate relationships that we have with people, we should not be closely associating ourselves with people who are unbelievers, because we don't have the same values. And St. John Chrysostom tells us that it's a lot more likely, if you have someone who's sick and someone who's healthy, that the healthy person is going to catch that sickness than it is that the sick person is going to catch the health of the healthy person. So if you want to remain healthy, to the extent that we are healthy as Orthodox Christians, you want to keep your distance. You want to socially distance, we could even use that phrase, from people who are spiritually sick. And he goes on to say, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? What concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. And I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. We have to be separate. We have to not touch the unclean thing. And if you're watching garbage on your TV or on the internet, if you're listening to garbage to entertain yourself, if you're hanging around with people who are talking about sinful stuff and yucking it up, you're touching the unclean thing. You're doing what St. Paul is telling you not to do. And you need to come out from among them and be separate, or else you're going to wind up sharing in their punishment. You're going to wind up being sucked down by them. If you were on the Titanic and the lifeboats were going down and they were saying, hey, you need to get off the Titanic and get into this lifeboat, you wouldn't hesitate to get into the lifeboat because you'd know that this Titanic is going down and it will suck you underneath if you stay on that ship. Well, that's the way the world is. The world, this evil system, this evil culture, and people who are enslaved by this evil culture, it's the Titanic. It's a ship that's going down. And if you don't get off that ship and get off the lifeboat, you're going to go down with it. We cannot be taken out of this world in this life. And as a matter of fact, Christ has told us that he sent us into the world to bring the light of truth to those who are in the world because he loves the world. He loves the people who are in the world. But we must not be of this world. We are strangers and pilgrims. This world is not our home. Here we have no continuing city, St. Paul tells us in the Epistle to the Hebrews, but we seek the one that is to come. And so we have to detach ourselves from this world and remain detached. Wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Amen.